Page 708. I mean, last time we really got into sidetracking about why Gashmius is more important than Ruchnius and why Hashem is giving us physical rewards. Okay, but now we're going to actually learn to still get me inside and see what it says. Okay, so the pasuk says, you keep mitzvahs, then Hashem, and you do them. So he says like this, I'm going to give the rains in the proper time. Rashi says, when is the proper time for rain? Rashi says, Friday night. Okay? Why Friday night? Because nobody's out in the street. You have to be home for Shabbos. So, that's proper time for the rain. V'nasna ha'aretz yivula, the land will give its produce. V'eita sada yitein piryei, and the trees of the field will give its proper fruit. And Rashi says in the Medrash that it doesn't say eights of the orchards. Usually trees are in an orchard. Fields usually plant grain, right? Why does the Torah use the word eitz asada? So Rashi says from the Medrash that ilani srak, even ordinary shade trees, you know, trees that are not made to produce fruit, they're basically there to give shade. Even those trees are going to produce fruit. Okay, and it would be a miracle that everything will be, okay.
What is Sirak?
Sirak means even shade trees. They give shade. Now, they're not made for fruit, they're made for shade. Even those trees are also good. That's why the pasuk says, Eitz Asada, not the eights of an orchard. Of a pardus, whatever you want to call it. Now, the reason what of the rains are need not only to make crops grow. Rain is there basically to give health, water supply, the climate, everything would be all inclusive in this bracha of Nasati Gishmechem Be'itam of the rains in the proper time. And as we said, Gishmechem does not only mean rains, it also means Gashmius. Hashem says, I'll give you all Gashmius in the right time. Because it's interesting. You know, you can have a bracha of Gashmius, but if it's not in the right time, it's not a bracha. And that's what it means. Asati Gishmeichem Itam, simply it means Hashem will give the rain in the proper time, like Rashi says Friday night. But it actually, the Asati Gishmeichem Itam means Hashem says, I'm going to give you your Gashmius in the right time. Okay, v'hi siglochem dayish es batzir, the threshing will last until the vintage, u'batzir yasig ezora, and the vintage will last until the sowing of the next field. What does this mean? It means like this, there'll be such a bracha, such abundance of grains and fruit and everything, you're going to be busy threshing your grain still. You're going to still be working on the grain when the new crop is coming up already. When the new grapes are coming up already. That means there'll be such an abundance of bracha. The Mefarshim say in a very interesting thing. And we know that Bechlal, according to Torah, the Gemara uses the expression, Batola mevi lidei shibum. Batola brings a person to go meshuga, to go nuts. When you have nothing to do, you go crazy. So here, part of the bracha, the Mefarshim say that part of the bracha the Torah is giving us is not only that you'll have so much grain, when you finish one, you're going to start with the next. The bracha is even more than that. You're going to be busy, you're going to stay out of trouble. You're going
to
be so busy doing good things. Now it's like when people are idle, they seek amusement, stimulation. You know, they go away from home and they lose it. That's why it's always good to keep people busy. And kids busy and people busy. When people are busy, they stay out of trouble. All trouble starts when people have nothing to do with themselves. So this is Mefarshim say is also part of the bracha that the Jews are going to be very busy. And then the pasuk says like this, V'achaltam lachmechem laseva. You will eat your bread to be coming full. V'yishavtam levetach be'artzichem, and you will live securely in your land. Now this is also an interesting thing, what the Pasuk says, V'achaltem lachmechem l'seiva. What does it mean, you'll eat the bread properly, to full? So Rashi says, an interesting thing. Rashi says, and you know, you learn Rashi and you just go through it and you stop to think for a second. It's an unbelievable thing what they're saying. Rashi says, what does it mean you'll eat the bread to be full? You're going to eat a little bit and you will be full from it. That itself is a bracha. That itself is a bracha that you will be full and satisfied from a little. Because we explained many times, there's a famous contradiction that the Gemara discusses. One Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's already destined in heaven how much money we're going to make. Okay, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're already judged how much money we're going to make for the year. Another Gemara says, Adam Nidan B'chol Yom. A person is judged in Parnassah every day. So the question is, if you're already predestined, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, how much money you're going to have, so what do you mean you're judged every day? It is what it is already. You can't change it. So there's a lot of answers to this famous Gemara contradiction. But a lot of them, Farshim, explain a very interesting thing. Let's say, for argument's sake, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Hashem is going to say, okay, based on your behavior, you're going to get $100,000 for the year. Now, you're going to get $100,000, that's a given. But how are you going to spend the money? That's the difference. One way of spending the money is on doctor bills, on leaky roofs, on car maintenance. I mean, there's a lot of ways. Hashem says you're going to get $100,000. That's a given. But Adam Nidim B'chol Yom, the judgment every day the Mefarshim learn is how you're going to use that money. Are you going to use it in a good way? So then you need much less money. If you're going to need it, God forbid, in a bad way, so then you're going to use it in a negative way. The Torah says part of the brach over here is V'achaltem lachmechem l'seiva, you're going to be full from a little bit of bread. And that itself is a very big brach. Similar, by the way, to the concept of what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the slash Shabbos, Perek Dalet, Ezel Ashir Asameach B'chalkei. Who's a rich man? One who is happy with their lot. The Torah says, V'achaltem lachmechem l'seiva, you're going to be satisfied with what you have. That itself is a bracha. Because a person who's never satisfied with what they have is really a curse. They're never satisfied. They always want more, more, more. They go meshuggah. You know, a person, when they're happy with what they have, that itself is a bracha. So the Torah, this is one of the meanings of the bracha. V'achaltem lachmechem l'seiva. Your bread, you're going to eat it full. Meaning you're going to be satisfied and happy with what you have. And you're going to live securely in the land. Okay? Why? Because like Rashi says in various different places, Eretz Yisrael, he gives the analogy of Eretz Yisrael being like a very delicate stomach. Delicate stomachs cannot tolerate coarse food. Delicate stomachs need nice, gentle, refined food to be able to eat it. So Rashi says, Eretz Yisrael, in fact the Torah uses the expression, V'leisaki ha'aretz eschem betam achem eisa. Literally, it's a very funny expression the Torah uses. The earth shouldn't vomit you out. Like vomit, throw you out when you impurify the land. So over there is where the Rashi says that Eretz Yisrael is such a holy land, it can't tolerate impurity. So if people act impure in the land, so the land throws you out. That's why the Jews had to go into Golus. Why did the Jews exile? Because they didn't behave properly. So the Torah says, when you keep the ways of Torah and Mitzvahs, not only are we going to have the Gashmias in there, you'll be full and satisfied and everything will be happy, you'll be secure. It's not only, by the way, secure in the land of Eretz Yisrael. We all know that, especially you see it by kids, kids need a sense of security. When kids are secure, you know, then they function properly. When the home is secure, the relationships are secure, you know, the family setting is secure, so then people grow up very healthy. The boy should grow up much better than if they're insecure. That's why kids have, you know, their blankets to go to sleep at night with, their security blankets or their teddy bears or whatever it may be. That is because they have something known to them, something they're comfortable with, so they become secure. The Torah says over here, when a person lives a Torah lifestyle, you keep mitzvahs, you know, all that, the Torah says, you know what, you're going to actually be secure. You're going to have a secure type of life because you're going to know what's good, what's bad, you're going to know what's dangerous, what's safe. You're just going to live a whole different type of lifestyle of security. And that itself is a bracha. Then the pasuk says like this, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, I'll give peace in the land, U'shchavtem, and you'll dwell in the land, V'ein machirid, you will not tremble. You're not going to have fear, which is seemingly a repetition of the previous pasuk. The pasuk says, V'yishavtem levetoch ba'artzechem, right? And then the Torah says again, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, and you won't be tremble. So he said, one is like in a personal level, and one is actually
General
level for the entire nation, that the nation will be secure. But again, Rashi over here says another remarkable thing. Rashi says that in case a person will say, Hare Meichel, Hare Mishta, okay, Im Ein Shalom, Ein Klum, nevertheless, if there's no peace, it's nothing. So Rashi says in the Medrash, Mikan, Shasholem, Shokul, Keneged HaKol. Peace is equal to everything. Peace, in the Gemara says the expression, Im Shalom Kan, Hakol Kan. If peace is here, the Gemara says, everything, you have everything. And in fact, even bring a Rashi quote from the Gemara in Brachos, it brings the Pasuk, it says, Eise Shalom, Uvereyas Hakol. It says, Hashem made peace, and He created everything. That means peace is equal to everything. If you have peace, you have everything. You don't have peace, you have nothing. That's what the Gemara says. Mechlal hei nata shmeilah. From the negative, you get to the positive. The Pasuk is saying a very interesting concept. The biggest bracha somebody can have is peace. Now, not pieces. Peace.
Peace is too much.
Peace is too much. Peace is in a very broad term. You have shalom bayis. You have shalom between friends. You have, but the ultimate shalom is personal within yourself. Peace within yourself. You know, there's an expression in the Gemara. Ein simcha kat. No, it's not in the Gemara. It's in the Sforim. Bring it down. Ein simcha kataras asfekas. There's no greater simcha. There's no greater joy when your doubts are solved.
What?
When your doubts. Your doubts. Uh-huh. I don't know how to say it in Farsi. Uh-huh. When your doubts are solved, when you have peace of mind, doubt is, you don't know this, you're being torn this way and this way and that way. And, you know, that's when you don't have any peace. But
you know this subject of time management that we were talking about?
That's also peace.
You say that, you know, the people who go, instead of like, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, and they start right away, they must have a lot of this
peace.
Kind of peace that they're able to just go and start the day and do what's needed and just take care of it. That's what
I'll explain to you what it is. I mean, that's what we're learning now. The last mission of the entire Mishnayos. Leimatza Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Hamachzik Bracha Ela Hashalom. Hashem did not find. Not only that, it says Leimatza Ela. There's a rule in Halacha when it says Loi Ela, not but. That means there is nothing else but this. The last mission of the entire Shenama Hashem Ezla Meiten Hashem Yevarech Hasam Veshalom. Okay. This is the last mission of the entire in Uksin. The last mission of the entire Mishnayos. Amr Bishua ben Chalafta lematzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Hamachzik Bracha Ela Hashalom. Shenama Hashem Oiz LaMeyitin Hashem Yevarech Hasam Veshalom. Hashem gives a strength to the nation. Hashem blesses his nation with peace. So he says, what is he saying? That the only vessel Hashem found for bracha is when there's peace. Like we know, b'chlau, when there's peace between people, then you have bracha. There's peace in the home, there's bracha, and the panos, and the bracha, and the everything. Everything is based on shalom. Shalom means peace, but shalom also comes to the word shalem, which means complete. Complete. Complete shalom is peace, and shalom means complete. Shalem is complete. The ultimate peace and completeness are really the same thing. What is the definition of peace? It's very interesting. What is the definition of peace? If you're the only one, huh?
You don't have anxiety.
No, one second. I'll explain to you what the problem with that is. Why that's not peace. The definition of peace, if you're the only one, you're the only one in the world, you can't say I'm at peace. Right? When there's, unless if you're a Jew, they say there's a Jew stranded on an island somewhere all by himself. And somebody found him. He was the only Jew on the island. And they found him. They found two shuls. So they said, you're the only Jew. Why do you need two shuls? He said, when I get in a fight in that one, I go to this one. So Jews could do that. But the definition, it says in Torah, in Chassidus, but in Torah it says, the definition of shalom is only when there's two things. If you're all by yourself, you can't say, I'm at peace. Shalom means there's a menagid, there's something else outside of you that could be against you, in a position of you, different than you, and you unite the both together.
Yeah, but
one second. And therefore, the whole concept of peace is brought down, is the concept of three. Mm-hmm. We say in davening every day, Shnei chsuvim hamachishim zeh zeh, there's two psukim contradicting each other until the third pasuk comes. So you say that bishmo right before Haidu, right? And he makes the compromise between the two. Huh? He reconciles the two together. But what does he do, by the way? He completes the two together, makes it into one. Okay? Like this is the broken. You make him peace, you make it complete. I mean, I don't want to go off into this now, but this is, by the way, connected to what he's saying, b'chukesi telechu, which shalom and all that, because as it's brought down, that the whole concept of Torah is three. The Gemara says, in Shabbos, in the Gemara about Matan Torah, the Gemara says, b'rich rachamono, blessed is Hashem, the yoev orient lisoi, la'amet lisoi, B'yoymet lisoi. The Gemara says the following: say, blessed is Hashem, who gave a threefold Torah to a threefold nation on the third day. Okay, so it says, what does it mean? He gave Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Tanakh is three parts of Torah to a threefold nation, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, on the third day of preparation. When the Jews prepared, you know, before Matan Torah, they prepared for 3 days.
Not so 2 months.
Oh, 1 second. This is what the Gemara says. And then, the Medrash takes it further. When was Torah given? The Pasuk says, in Yisrei b'chedesh ha-shlishi, in the third month. And then Rabbeinu Gershom, on the side of the Gemara in Shabbos, is remarkable. He starts saying everything of threes. He says, Torah was given by Moshe. Moshe is Mem Shin Hei. Moshe came from Levi, Lamed Vav Yud. Moshe was the third child, Miriam, Aaron, Moshe. He goes into a lot of things, all threes. Okay? So the question is, what's the big deal with three? I mean, why is there such an emphasis in the Gemara? And the Torah, b'chedesh ha-shlishi. And if the Torah didn't say it, I mean, there's an emphasis on the whole concept of three. So it's explained, because there's also a concept, anytime there's peace, it's two things that contradict each other, and the third thing makes peace between the two. If you're all alone, you can't have peace. When there's somebody else, it's automatically two, machishim ze'ezeh. We find even in the spiritual worlds, We daven every day. If you do benching Birchat Hamazon, you also do say, Eisa Shalom B'mreimav, Huyasa Shalom Aleinu V'Akol Am Yisrael. What does it mean, Eisa Shalom B'mreimav? Eisa Shalom B'mreimav, the simple meaning of the word is, Hashem makes peace on high. Eisa Shalom B'mreimav, Hashem makes B'mreimav in the heavens, up, Mreimim in the high places. Huyasa Shalom Aleinu, He should make peace upon us. So, what does it mean that God makes peace up high? Listen to this. There's Michal, one angel, and there's Gavriel, another angel, and there's Raphael, another angel. No. There's three angels in this family. Anyway, so it says, Michal, it says in the Medrash, is Sar Shalmayim, the Malach of water. Gavriel is the Sar Shal Eish, the Malach of fire. Fire and water can't stand each other. They fight. They can't coexist. It's a big fight. So it says, "Eisa Shalom b'mreimav." Hashem makes peace between Michal and Gavriel, between Mayim and Eish, between Chesed and Gevura. Who is the one that makes the peace? Hashem. So Hashem is the third. There's Michal and Gavriel, and Hashem is the third one making peace. What's the whole concept of Torah? Again, you could talk about this for hours, but just quickly, Torah is what makes peace between God and world. There's world, olam, which is ha'olam, concealment, anti-God, so to speak. You look at the world, you don't see God, you don't feel Hashem, people that say there is no God, God forbid. And there's Hashem, and there's world. So what makes peace between Hashem and the world? That's the union of Torah. And that's what Bilam even realized. It says in the Medrash, when Hashem gave Matan Torah, there was thunder and lightning and kailas of Rakim, there was a big commotion in the world. So the Goyim didn't know what it was, they didn't have earthquakes in those days yet. So the Goyim got scared. So they ran to their prophet Bilam, like, what's going on? And Bilam said to them, don't worry, Hashem owes La'amo Yitain, Hashem is giving His strength. Hashem is giving His strength, His Torah to the Jewish people. Hashem yivarech asami vashalom. God is blessing His people with peace. So Bilam said, don't worry, this commotion is fireworks on July 4th. You know what I mean? It's good. It's not wars, it's not fighting, it's not bullets flying. It's a good show. It's a good show between peace. What does Torah do? Torah makes peace between Hashem and world. Because what does Torah do? What? One second. No, between Hashem and world. How? When a Jew does Torah mitzvahs, they take the world and they make it godly. So they show that not only world doesn't contradict Hashem, not only does world not go against Hashem, world is together with Hashem. Okay? So therefore, the whole concept of Matan Torah, really, is the concept of three, which makes peace between Hashem and the world. Two opposites, and Torah comes and makes peace between the two.
Is the same reason that husband and wife and a common child, that it's more peace in the family?
Sometimes. When you have husband and wife, the third makes peace is Hashem. That's why when you bring God into the partnership, so then Hashem makes the peace between men and women, because men and women are opposite. Not only one comes from Mars, one comes from Venus, but everything about men and women are different. And Hashem, as we at the time of a chuppah, you get the bracha for all the years ahead, that there should be shalom between husband and wife, which Hashem is a third partner. Gimel shut from ba'adam. Hashem is the third partner. He's the one that makes peace between people. Yeah. So what is this whole concept of shalom? Coming back about your anxiety attacks. I went off a little bit just to explain that what the concept of shalom is. By uniting two opposite things together, that instead of contradicting one another, they work with each other, that's the concept of peace. When they're pulling against each other, then you don't have peace. When you have it working together, then you have peace. Okay? The true ultimate peace that a person could have with peace of mind when every part of the body works together and no part is tearing itself away from the other part. If you think about it, when a person's at peace, I don't mean when they pass away, they say, "V'yenuchal mishkavi b'sholim." Now that they're peace, they're talk of peace then. Real peace, huh? The real peace.
Working there.
Only peace.
Together.
But you know what? I want to tell you something. I'm not doing a psychology now or marriage counseling now or all these things, but the truth is, in order to be able to be peaceful with somebody else, you need first to be peace within yourself. What is the definition of peace within yourself? The definition of peace within oneself means that all parts of the body, and you got different parts. You got the head, which is cold and intellectual. You got the heart, which is warm and emotional. You know, intellect and emotional are very opposite. Okay? And then you got the feet and the hands and the, I mean, you got from top to bottom, every part is a different part. When a person is able, peace of mind means, why don't they have anxiety? Because every part of the body is working together in harmony. When they work together in harmony, meaning, you know what your goal is, you know what the road is to get there, you know where you're going, what you're doing, then you don't have anxiety attacks. Anxiety comes from not knowing the unknown. From not knowing the unknown, you're nervous. Right? People are nervous. When you're comfortable in your home, you're not nervous. You don't have anxiety attacks. Because, like we said, that's your comfort blanket. You live securely in the land. Where does anxiety come from? From the unknown. But what happens in the unknown? Your mind is doing one thing, your heart is doing something else, everybody's going in a different place, so you go nuts. Or when a person has doubts, forget about anxiety attacks. A person has doubts, which by the way causes anxiety attacks. When a person has doubts, so this part of the brain is tearing them this way, part of the brain is tearing them this way, and that causes all the stress, whatever you want to call it. When a person has peace, what does that mean? Everything works together because you know where you're going, what you're doing, how you're getting there. You know, when a person is going on a journey and you know that you're on the right road, even though you're at just the beginning of the journey, you're not nervous. What happens when you get lost? And like everybody makes fun, that the men don't want to ask directions. They don't have a GPS and they get lost, they're finished. What's the nervous? Because I don't know, I'm going this way or this way, right? But once you know which way you're going, then you're not nervous anymore. Then you're at peace. Why? Because then everything's working together. And therefore, there's an expression, like we said, "Ein simcha katardas hasfeikis." When a person has doubts, they cannot be besimcha, because they're not at peace within themselves. There's no joy greater than when a person has the doubts. Again, even though you're not there yet, you're not at your destination, so to speak. But you know the direction to go, and you know how you're going, and what you're doing. So that is the concept of shalom. And that's a tremendous bracha. That's why, this is one of the explanations why Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Im shalom kan, hakol kan. Or Rashi uses the expression, Mikan sha shalom shakul keneged hakol. Shalom is equal to everything, because when you have peace, you know what? People that have peace, they could do with little money, and they could do with little this, and they could do with little that. The main thing is that they have peace. And this is the biggest bracha.
And to get to the peace, you, by observing all the commandments and services and so on, you gain trust in Hashem, and with that trust, you rely on the fact that, okay, whatever way that is coming is going to be okay or something
yeah.
like that.
But not, it's two things. Not only, you're right in the trust, you know, when you trust in God, so everything automatically is going to be good, right? But not only that, when you keep Torah and mitzvahs, you know exactly what's expected you from you in life. You know, what does life expect from you?
What you expect from life, not the life.
What life expects from you and what you expect from life. When we have a mission in life, okay, we know the direction. The Rebbe said many times, the pasuk says, "Ner mitzvah, the Torah are." A candle is a mitzvah, and Torah is light. Yeah? Light, if you think about it, light doesn't do anything. Whether the room is dark, or the room is light, the room doesn't change. Okay? What does light do? That everything's clear. You know where it's safe to go, and you know where it's dangerous to go. Right? That's what light does. It doesn't change the room. So it says, what does it mean, ner mitzvah teirah? The Rebbe explains, what does it mean, ner mitzvah teirah od? There's something called world. World. Life. Where we are, time that we are, right? Torah is not going to change anything in the world. But Torah shows you, this road is safe. This road is dangerous. At least we know, we have clarity of where we're going. If people have clarity where they're going, that is v'nasati shalom baretz. But
you know, when the whole body is together, when you laugh, the body forgets everything, and from the A, from the brain to the toe, the whole body is connected to each other and doesn't think about anything else, just to be together.
That's true. But it says another thing also about that. A healthy person, we mentioned this in the past, a healthy person doesn't feel their body. A healthy person doesn't feel your stomach. When you have a stomach ache, you're sick, that's when you feel the stomach. We don't feel the head. When you have a headache, oh, and now I realize I have a head. You know, then you realize you have a head. And it's interesting. It says, in Chassidus brings down, that when a person is healthy, they don't feel the body. Now, I don't know what the chicken is and what the egg is, whether because the body doesn't feel itself, you're healthy, or you're healthy because the body doesn't feel itself, which is two ways of looking at it. But the bottom line is, when there's peace in the body, that means every organ works together, then you're healthy. When everybody starts feeling itself, and that's when the stomach feels, oh, I'm a stomach, and the pain in the stomach, and then you become a separate thing, not together with the rest of the body, that shows you're sick. Or maybe that's why you're sick. Whatever, I don't know again what's the cause and effect. But the bottom line is that shalom means shleimus, shalom means peace. Peace means that everything works together. And a person's not torn in a million different ways. That's where anxiety comes from, that's where doubt comes from, that's where depression comes from, that's where everything comes from. When a person has peace, and this is the biggest bracha. And that's why the Gemara says, "Im shalom kan hakol kan," or the Rashi says, shalom shakol kan agar hakol. Peace is equal to everything. By the way, it's not easy to make peace, to get peace. But based on this, whatever work it takes to have peace of mind, it's worth it.
But one of the areas that I'm finding, Rabbi, is always that Torah is encouraging us to be positive. In other words, for some reason...
It depends which part of Torah, the Torah that you're taught, yeah. Some people look at the negative things, you know, which is also part of Torah.
I see. So it's
there's two ways to deal with issues. There's two ways of dealing with issues. Even in medicine, when a person is sick, God forbid, right? So you have one way of dealing with that particular limb that's sick. Or another way of medicine is strengthen the rest of the body, and that will automatically get better. Okay? A glass can be half full or half empty. It's the same thing. It depends how you look at it. Okay? In relationships, to make peace, you could harp on the negative issues that are going on. You can harp on the bad issues. What's wrong with that? When you fight dirt, you get dirty. Instead, in relationships, and this is the Hasidic approach, bichlal, to everything, that when you deal with the positive, take the positive aspect of the relationship, build it, make it stronger, the negativity automatically falls away. What do you gain by it? You're dealing with positive. You're not dealing with dirt. Okay? Freud was of the opinion that the more you dig into a person, the more mud you're going to find. Okay? And Rambam says in Taira that the more you dig into a person, the more diamonds you're going to find. The greater the person will be. Okay? Some people say, you know, bring out the negativity of a person. And other people say, bring out the positive of the person. In fact, a good teacher and a good parent, their greatness lies in the ability to bring out the best of their kids. Whether it's the students or their own kids, whatever it may be. To find the nekuda, the point. The Rebbe once spoke about Jews getting together. Yeah. The Rebbe said, what happens when Jews get together at a meeting? Usually what happens, they start fighting over every stupid little thing. Yeah. The Rebbe said, why don't they pick a point that everybody agrees on? Forget like in community things, you know. Of course you're going to fight, you're going to find what to fight if you want. But instead of discussing the things that you're going to fight about, instead you're going to pick something what everybody agrees is good. And to work together on that, number one, you're sitting at a table working together instead of killing each other. So this is in communal affairs, this is in personal life. A person, even within themselves, to make peace with themselves, forget about relationships, you know, spouses and kids and a teacher, a friend, whatever. Even within the person themselves, when they find common points within themselves that they could better, then the bad automatically goes away. And then you become complete. So Torah always emphasizes the positive. Because that's the way you create an environment. You know, I mentioned this many times. Anyway, people are upset with me already saying it. But, you know, sometimes there's a certain approach, even in Yiddishkeit. Okay? Sometimes people come up with, they mean well. They really mean well. And they mean good ideas. They'll say, you know, I mean, it's a funny example to use. Everybody should forgive me. People have these, okay, from 8 to 9, no Lashon Hara. You have these things, right? The Lashon Hara groups. From 8 to 9, Monday evening, no Lashon Hara. It's a wonderful thing not to speak Lashon Hara. It's a really good thing. But if you think about it, what's going on over here? You're harping on something negative. It's a no Lashon Hara hour. So meanwhile, you're thinking about the concept of Lashon Hara. And it also sounds like this. If it's from 8 to 9, so let's quickly, up to 7:59, let's get in all the Lashon Hara we could. And then 9:01, we're bursting already, a whole hour, no, God, finally 9:01, let's get back on the phone. You know, texting, da, da, da. Okay? You want to accomplish the same thing? Do it in a positive way. What do you mean in a positive way? Tell people, you know what? From 8 to 9, we're going to learn. Okay? Let's learn from 8 to 9. If you're learning from 8 to 9, automatically you're not going to be speaking Lashon Hara. Right? No, automatically, if you're learning, then of course, say Tillim. We're going to say Tillim from 8 to 9. What are you emphasizing? You're emphasizing something positive. Let's do something good. If you're doing good, automatically you're not going to do evil. But why do you need to say, you understand what I'm saying? I don't mean to knock it. It's a very good thing. Let him do it. Because I'm right. But in Inyan, it's better to say, the goal is not to speak Lashon Hara. Granted, it's a very important thing. But say, you know what? Let's get together and we're going to say Tillim for an hour. Or learn for an hour. Have a shiur for an hour. Whatever. Do something. So what are you emphasizing? We're learning Tillim, something. And automatically you're not going to be speaking Lashon Hara. And then you're not focusing on the negative.
Next hour.
You ever notice when you give a little kid, it always works. when you give a kid a plate to bring to the table, and you tell, don't drop it. You know, you ever think, don't drop it. That's when they drop it. Why? No, why is it? Psychologically, why is it? Because the kid is focusing on dropping. You tell him, don't drop it. Okay? If you tell the kid, carry this nicely to the table, you don't talk about dropping. You say,
positive.
Carry this like a big boy, like a big girl to the table. They're not going to drop it because they're focusing on being good. You have, in also even in teachers, it's remarkable. Bechlal in the school system, they're getting much better in that respect, not everything else, but in a certain respect. Years ago, if you were bad in class, they put your name on the board. If you misbehaved, yeah, that's where we grew up, yeah? You misbehaved, you got your name on the board.
With an X.
Huh? With an X. With an X. 10 X's, yeah?
Still there you are? Still there you are?
From a Torah perspective,
when you're good, then
from a Torah perspective, it's a ridiculous thing to do. Why? Everybody wants attention. You know, there's an expression in Yiddish, talk about me, good, bad, just talk about me. Yeah? Everybody wants attention.
Famous.
So, what are you telling the kids? You want your name on the board? You want to get attention? Be bad. Instead of doing that, do it the opposite way. Tell the kid, when you do something good, you say a nice pasuk, you do something good, you're going to get your name on the board. So then what's the focus? The focus is also on the positive, and automatically they're not doing the negative, but you're focusing on the positive rather than the negative. That's the concept of Shalom, by the way. What?
When I was studying in Jerusalem, when it was a group of women, they take not to speak Lashon Hara for a month. This is the same thing.
And before the month, yeah, and after the month, not? I'm asking, I don't know.
No, because if you say it's going
first of all, to fast the merub haloi to fast. Not to speak Lashon Hara for a month? Come on.
Impossible.
You can't live like that. You can't have no food for a month. Now, I want to make it clear. I'm not knocking the concept. The concept is very good. But Torah comes along and says, instead of dealing with the negative, right?
Positive.
You have to deal with the positive. And that's the way you create real peace, by the way.
So, like, in real life, a lot of times, you know, you have these struggles that, you know, what if, like, next month this will happen? Causing negative, let's say it's business or whatever and so on, that you're thinking as if you start trying to put those away and start not think about the possibility of something negative happening, put those possibilities away even, and think about positive, that also will have an effect at the end.
Sure it does.
I'm not sure. Just like the kid that is walking like that.
100%.
Tracht gut
wird sein gut. There's a Yiddish that Tzemach Tzadik once told somebody, think positive, it will be positive. And the Rebbe explains that it wasn't stam, you know, good word. By thinking positive, you make it positive. It becomes positive through thinking positive. People that have, you have negative people and positive people. I mean, such creatures exist in human nature. People that are positive thinkers have a much healthier, relaxed lifestyle than people that always think the worst.
Yes.
Now, how do you get rid... Is that your wife? No, okay. How does a person get rid of negative thinking? There's only one way. By thinking, you can't think two things at the same time. Right? It's impossible. How do you get rid of bad thoughts? You can't just say, okay, throw it away. Something's going to come back. So if you think good thoughts, positive thoughts, then the negative thoughts automatically can't come back. So the concept of Shalom, this is what Vinasati Shalom Bar is, the biggest bracha, that somebody can have his peace. It doesn't only mean in Eretz Yisrael with the Arabs, it means that also, obviously. But Torah is a personal book also. Vinasati Shalom Ba'aretz is by a person living securely, ve'machrid, without frightening, without, by a person thinking everything is going to turn out good. And harp on the positive. In relationships, pick something which is positive between the two, and work on it and think about it and talk about it and deal with the positive, the negativity falls away. And this explains, by the way, the completeness. Chassidus says this also about the achdus, the unity that has to be between Jews, because we're all one big body, all Jews are one. In the human body, all the limbs of the person are interconnected through the veins and the blood, and that's why you have a pain in your stomach, they'll give you a shot in the arm. They don't give you a shot in the stomach. Why do you give me a shot in the arm if the stomach is in pain? Because the shot in the arm is connected to the body. A pain in the head will be affected by what you do to the foot. Because it's a complete thing. Because it's complete and it's united, so everything interworks. So you tell a story, this is for fundraisers. You tell a story, somebody was once, had a heart problem. Yeah? So the doctor came, was taking his pulse. So the guy wasn't too smart. He says, "Doctor, my heart hurts. Why are you checking my hand?" So the doctor said to him, "Through your hand, I can see what type of heart you have." But it's for giving tzedakah. How much tzedakah you give, that's what type of heart you can. I see what type of heart you have. You want to know what the heart is? You check the hand. No. But this is the bracha. Okay, so it says, "V'nasati shalom ba'aretz v'shchavta me'machrit." You'll dwell there without any fear. The next thing, I'm just going to start it because there's a lot to talk about this half a pasuk. "V'shbati chayarom min ha'aretz." I will cause the wild beasts to cease from the land, to withdraw from the land. "V'chedav le'sava ba'artzichem." And there won't even be a sword going through your land. And Rashi says, "Elafilu." Okay, the Medrash uses it, but Rashi doesn't. Rashi says it, but not the Lashon. "Afilu chedav shel sholim v'yaver ba'artzichem." In other words, like Rashi says, what do you mean a sword will not go through your land? Even other enemies not coming to fight you. They just want to go through your land. You know, it's a shortcut to get to a different place. That even that sword won't go through your land. And there's a whole machlekes here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Bar Mitzvah Shem next Monday night we'll talk, it's getting late. But Vishpati Chayiro Min Ha'aretz, it says, simply means that I will get rid of that. I will cause the wild beast to withdraw from the land. But there's two opinions in the Medrash what this means. One opinion says I'll get rid of them, and the other one means they'll get rid of them, they'll change to help you. Not only will the wild beasts or the enemies, not only will they not fight you, they will even help you. And this is two definitions of the word Vishbati, similar to, for those that learn in Yeshiva, Psochim, Tashbisu, Sorda, Machlekes, Rabbi Yudan, and Chachamim, if Bir Chomis is Sreif or not, is dependent on this Pasuk also. But that we'll see Mitzvah Shem next week, the great limb. But anyway, it says like this. So, Hashem will get rid of all the wild animals, and even a piece of sword won't come even close into the land. Hashem will destroy all the wild beasts in the land, and the Echer of Usaver Bartzichem. Now, Vishpati Chayiro Min Ha'aretz, just briefly, in a personal sense, also means the Chayis Ros we have within us. We also have wild beasts in us that want to destroy us. Yitzahara, Nefesh HaBamis, you know, the, as we say, Chayiro, you know, you're a wild beast. So this, Hashem says, when a person lives with Teira, V'nasati Shalom Bartzichem, when a person lives with Teira, then even the wild beasts, so to speak, that exist in the land, also won't exist. Hashem will destroy them.
Beasts, they accept beasts in the Torah? They don't believe in beasts?
Beasts?
Yeah. Beasts meaning ghosts or something?
No. No, beasts are lions, tigers, that. No, Chaya and Behema. Chaya and Behema. In Torah, there's Chaya and Behema. Right? Chaya, Behema is domestic animals. Animals that people raise. Pet, no, but it means cows, lambs, sheep, you know, that stuff. Chaya is a deer that run wild. The deer, lion, tiger, you have kosher chaya, trefer chaya. Yeah, but no, chaya doesn't mean ghosts.
Beasts.
And not say in Farsi. Sorry.
You have to study Farsi.
Huh?
In beast. Yeah.
No, but it doesn't mean.
Beast,
different word. Hey, different meaning.
Wild animals, no?
Wild animals, but it also means. What he's talking about is the Shadim. But it's also included in this. So there won't be any damage from the Shadim, from the demons and the devils. And
yeah.
Okay, we'll stop it here because there's.